The long Labor Day weekend marked the unofficial end of summer. The beach towels have been packed away and the boats may have been docked for the season. But before we say a very final goodbye to our weekends at Michigan's beaches, we have one more listener question about the Great Lakes. Let's take a listen.
My name is Jennifer LaRoji, and I'm from New Hudson, Michigan. My question is climate change affecting the sand dunes in up north Michigan, and is it affecting the coastal landscape?
For the answer, we turn to Alan Arbogast. He's professor and chair of the Department of Geography at Michigan State University. Alan, it's great to have you with us.
Pleasure to be here.
So before we talk climate change, let's do Dunes 101, if you will.
Sure.
You say Michigan's coastal dunes are global in their grandeur. How exactly did the dunes form?
Yeah, it's really pretty simple, quite frankly. The raw material is sand, as everyone knows. That sand originated from the Canadian Shield in Canada, and it was brought south during the ice ages by glaciers. In turn, it was deposited on the Michigan landscape, you know, in that earlier period of time. The sand is then reworked. It's eroded from bluffs as the Great Lakes have risen and fallen through time. Since the ice ages, the sand goes into the lake, it moves along the lake shore, deposited in beaches, and then it blows up to form dunes.
Okay, and yet there are misconceptions about how dunes are formed. What are some of the misconceptions you hear from people?
Well, commonly that with respect to their age, that's kind of the big one. I've been working on this landscape since the late 90s, and the assumption at that time was that the dunes had formed largely during one event that occurred about 5,000 years ago after a high lake stage. And that lake was about 15 feet higher than it is now. When the lake fell from that stage, there was a lot of available sand, and that sand blew up to form the dunes. And that was sort of the prevailing paradigm at that time. Actually, in some of the environmental literature of that era, there was another view that the conditions that had produced them were over 10,000 years old, and that they were directly formed in some way, shape, or form because of the ice ages. And neither one of those paradigms was true. We started dating them with radiocarbon dating and another method that's called optical stimulated luminescence dating. And we discovered that indeed they began to form about 5,000 years ago, but that they've evolved in a very complex way since that period of time, with distinct periods of growth and then distinct periods of time when the dunes weren't growing much or any at all. Those variations are related to fluctuations in the lake, maybe more or less storminess during those periods of time, but that the history is actually quite complex.
And how do the misconceptions impact the way that we think about preserving coastal dunes?
I guess the question is, what does preserving mean? And there's a lot of talk about that, and I've been involved in some of those discussions. One obvious way that dunes can be impacted that has been high in the public consciousness has been through sand mining. Dunes have been, quote-unquote, destroyed because of sand mining in over time. No question about that. And people feel strongly about that dune landscape and have reactions to that. Another way of impacting dunes that people have is by stabilizing them. Our coastal dunes are meant to move. They're highly mobile at times. And if vegetation or homes and parking lots and driveways and things like that expand over the dunes, then they will become stable. And so they won't move anymore. And one could say, well, that would be a way of impacting the dunes. So when you say preserving them, the question that I always ask in return is, well, what do you want to preserve? If you want to preserve their mobility and their natural function, that's one thing. If you're wanting to make sure that they aren't being destroyed by sand mining in certain isolated spots, that's something else.
And I'm hearing you say human development and vegetation locks the dunes in place, in a sense, preventing them from this ever-changing natural process that has been part of what they are for eons.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. We're working on a study right now, a group of us, where we're looking at air photos from the early 30s or late 30s when they were originally taken to the present time to look at the expansion of vegetation across dune landscapes and parks up and down the lakeshore, because we're using the parks as the natural zones. And in virtually all of them, the expansion of vegetation, even in the parks, has been extensive and rapid in some cases. And that's with people walking on them. So if you build on them and lock them in place, it's going to have the same effect. Now, the question is, what do people want? I'm asking that rhetorically.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what they want, that's fine. But, you know, that does have an impact, no doubt about it.
And now to Jennifer's question about climate change. First of all, can you break down the difference for us between coastal erosion and changes to dunes?
Oh, sure. I started studying sand dunes in Kansas when I was doing my PhD work, and there's lots of sand dunes in the Great Plains. Half of Nebraska is covered by sand dunes. And what makes a sand dune is the fact that it's sand that was deposited by the wind. So we're lucky here in Michigan is there's so much sand along the beaches that the wind, prevailing winds from the west, can blow the sand to create dunes. Those dunes are going to erode and move and bury things and uncover things all on their own, okay, whether the lake is going up or whether the lake is going down. Coastal erosion per se is more of a kind of a wave process where when the lake comes up and strong waves hit the shoreline, then you're going to have more coastal erosion. Now, some of that erosion might be where dunes happen to be, but much of the worst erosion that's going on the coast is where there are no dunes at all.
So what threat, then, Alan, does climate change pose first to Michigan's coastline?
Well, that's uncertain, which is not always a good answer, I know, but it's true. The models suggest that in the coming decades, we're going to see generally more precipitation that is released into the lakes and the lakes go up. If it's warmer in the wintertime, you might have less ice cover, which means there's more evaporation. So what impact that has on the lakes is uncertain. But in all probability, the lakes might go up some, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, they've fluctuated a lot historically and in the prehistoric. We know that. That work's been well documented. The lakes have gone up. The lakes have gone down quite a lot. Okay. The impact of climate change and more precipitation gradually on lake level and erosion is really hard to judge. I think it's more of a, if the lake goes up, there are certain areas of the coastline that are going to be flooded where people happen to live or have businesses and whatnot in towns and marinas and things like that. And I think that would be probably the bigger concern. Shoreline erosion has been going on forever in Lake Michigan. So it's really hard to judge. It would be wrong of me to try to say that there's any one answer.
And is the same answer apply to the question, what threat does climate change pose to our sand dunes? Would you basically...
Yeah, it does. It's uncertain. If we are indeed receiving more precipitation, that would have a tendency to further allow vegetation to expand across the dunes. We know that happened in the past. And it could very well happen in the future. We're seeing it in the state parks now. And so with more plant cover, that means there's less sand that's bare, which means that there's less sand blowing around.
What do you feel are the most important things that we in Michigan can and should do to protect Michigan's dunes and coastal landscape?
Okay, so I'm gonna turn that question on its head for you.
Sure.
What does it mean to you to protect the coastal dunes?
I think people would say to know that the dunes are there for future generations to be able to experience and enjoy.
Okay, by that, does the question imply that the dunes are there to enjoy with extensive patches of bare sand that is moving around and doing the dune thing?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's very slippery.
it is kind of a slippery slope. And one could argue that by allowing them to lock in place, that they are going to be preserved as sand dunes. Now, they're going to be sort of fossilized dunes and that they're not going to be active. And that's going to have impact on species, you know, plovers and pitcher's thistle and well-known plant and animal species like that. But they're not going to be active. which for a lot of people would be a good thing. The Europeans, interestingly, have gone for the past 20 years in kind of an opposite direction, where they're doing things to try to ensure that dunes remain active. The last time that the state revisited the Sand Dune Protection Management Act, which was originally passed in 76, they looked at it again, I think it was in 2012, and they included some language to preserve the dynamic nature of coastal sand dunes in Michigan. Well, what does that mean? And how does that conflict with what people naturally desire, which is to live in stable places that aren't moving under their feet? You know what I mean?
Ellen, what kind of forecasting are you able to do based on your historical research of Michigan's coastal dunes? What do you think the outlook is, say, for the next 100 years?
Wow, that's a great question. I think the people in the state of Michigan have a choice to make about what they want for the Michigan sand dunes. If present degree of development continues for the next 100 years, my hypothesis would be that the dunes would be increasingly stabilized, and with fewer and fewer patches of bare sand, that the ecosystem would become fragmented, and there would be extensive reaches along the shoreline where, you know, it's locked in place and that's the way it's going to stay. And there'll be some more isolated places where it remains dynamic. But I think that's the big choice that folks in Michigan have about what they want that dune landscape to look like in 100 years. I think that's the, if you want to call it a threat, using that term cautiously, you know, sand mining itself, those places tend to be isolated, while maybe unsightly locally and causing some problems locally. I think the biggest overall threat, and again, I use that term cautiously, is that it's going to become a fossilized landscape in the next 100 years.
There are so many facets I think the general public would not understand, and you've shown us there's no cut and dried answer, and that's for sure. Ellen Arbogast, professor and chair of the Department of Geography at Michigan State University. Ellen, thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
You bet. It's always fun to talk about Michigan sand dunes.